firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
A happy funeral. It kind of sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? As if somehow these two words simply can't coexist. But today on Through the Bible, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us to the deathbed of King Uzziah, where we'll sense the relief and joy that his family feels as he enters the presence of the Lord. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus and find your seat. And while you do, let's hear from a few of our fellow Bible bus passengers. First, we hear from Elizabeth in Ohio.
My name is Elizabeth Branson, and I live in London, Ohio, and I hear Dr. McGee's Through the Bible on WRFD AM 880 in Columbus, Ohio. I've been with Dr. McGee for over 20 years, and he just I've read the Bible through myself many times, but Dr. McGee just brings new truths and light to the Scriptures each morning. Each book of the Bible in the New Testament and Old Testament just comes alive with Dr. McGee's teaching. I live in a log cabin out in the country alone. I'm 76 years old. I don't have a lot of modern technology, but I recently purchased a smartphone, and that was quite a challenge. But I was able to, by pushing a lot of different buttons, I was able to join the World Prayer Team. So every morning I'm able to join in with prayer time for the prayer team. And I'm so thankful to be on the Bible bus. And I just want to thank all of you there for your faithfulness to the Lord and to teaching His Word. Keep on keeping on. Bless the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you again. Goodbye.
Well, it's great to hear from you. We're so glad that you've joined us on the World Prayer Team. And then next we hear from a listener in Auburn Hills, Michigan.
My name is Susie Hunt, and I listen to Through the Bible on WMUZ. I live in Auburn Hills, Michigan, and the question was, if you had to pick just one thing you've learned on the Bible bus, what would it be? And I'd have to say it definitely would be discipline. I look forward to listening to Through the Bible every day, and it's taught me to go deeper in the Word for a better understanding. Thank you for having it on the air. I love it. God bless you all, and have a blessed day.
Well, thanks for contacting us, Stevie. It's so great to hear from you. So what are you learning as we study God's Word together? Well, we'd love to hear your story, so email your note to BibleBus@ttb.org or write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. It's such an encouragement to hear from you, so please contact us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Please bless the teaching of your word today. May we gain wisdom and knowledge as your Spirit speaks to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today we are in the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and we're at verse 6. We were talking about Uzziah. He was 16 years old when he came to the throne at the death of his father Amaziah, and he reigned a long time, 52 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We're told in verse 4, according to all that his father Amaziah did. However, very candidly, I was not very much impressed by his father Amaziah, but Uzziah was a good king, and that was unusual for the kingdoms. In fact, in the northern kingdom, there was never a good king, not a one. And in the southern kingdom, there were very few. There were about five of them that could be considered exceptional, because during their reign, there came in the great revival and reformation. Now, Uzziah's reign didn't produce revival, but he was a good king. He was not a bad king. I think I told you before that in the college I went to, which was quite liberal, they had a Bible course. It was very fragmentary, but one of the questions that apparently had been asked from time immemorial from the very founding of the school was to name the kings of Israel and Judah and briefly describe the reign of each. Some ingenious freshman in days gone by had discovered that if you write after each one of them a bad king, you can't make less than 95%. And who in the world that is any freshman would want to make more than 95%? So the thing that we did, we just memorized the kings and we wrote after them, bad king, bad king. Now, you'd be wrong when you wrote that after Uzziah, because Uzziah was a good king. Nothing exceptional, but a good king. And he did several things here that are quite interesting, and I want to call your attention to them. In verse 6, we're told, he went forth and warred against the Philistines. He brake down the wall of Gath. And you remember, that was one of the strongholds of the Philistines. And the wall of Jabna, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. I was in Ashdod some time ago, and it's experiencing a tremendous business boom today. You see, they've made a harbor there. There's actually only one harbor along that coast, and that was up the way, but none here. And in the old days, the ancient ships could come in at Caesarea, but they couldn't come in here. But now there's a wonderful harbor there. It's a man-made harbor, and it's receiving, I suppose, more of the goods that are being shipped in and out than any other place in Israel. And it's the place where the oil pipeline comes from over at the Red Sea, and then it's piped and then put back in tankers and carried from there. And they're just building everywhere there. Well, that entire area is what this man Uzziah took. And not only the Philistines, all that was Philistine country, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. That's verse 8. And his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and in the valley gate and the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert, and he digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Now, this man was quite a remarkable ruler. He was a man that was at heart a farmer and also a rancher. And down in that area from Ashdod and Ashkelon and Gath all the way down to Beersheba is great pasture lands, is today. Great place for raising cattle and sheep, and that's what he did. And then on up toward Carmel, you get in the valley of Esdraelon. And that's a great fruit country, especially grapes. And he went into that. And we're told he loved husbandry. He loved this type of thing. In verse 11, moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their count by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Now, he was a tremendous general, by the way, a man that was gifted in warfare. And we find, verse 13, under their hand was an army, 300,000, 7,500. And this man was very successful as a general. And we read verse 14, and Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the hosts shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. Now, notice, in ancient warfare, they made certain kinds of machines whereby they could hurl rock, and also that they could fix bows and arrows without being pulled by human power. They would be able to build a bow tremendous size. and reach a tremendous distance. Now, who started all that? Notice verse 15. He made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now, this man, Uzziah, was responsible for that. A type of new method of warfare, by the way. Then we notice here he does something. And have you noticed that all of these kings, even the good ones, there was always a chink in their armor. There was the Achilles heel. There's always the weakness. That is man today. I don't care what man he is, there is a weak spot. Now notice what he did here. Verse 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And sometimes success is the worst thing that can happen to any of us because we're lifted up with pride. Now notice what he did. I'm still reading in verse 16. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. And he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now somebody says, isn't that all right? No, it was all wrong for him. Why? And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. In other words, the priests could actually resist the king in this matter because the king is usurping the priest's office and doing what was strictly forbidden except the sons of Aaron. And as far as incense was concerned, only the priests, the sons of Aaron, only they ministered in the holy place, especially at the altar of incense and the golden lampstand. And Aaron himself took care of the golden lampstand, and that became the prerogative of the high priest from that day on. Now notice what happened to this man. Verse 19, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, that is, a separate house, so he wouldn't have contact with others, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. And by the way, when we get to the prophecy of Isaiah, we're going to find out he goes over this ground. And we find that he began his ministry at the death of Uzziah. Now let me read that, verse 23. So Uzziah slept with his fathers. They buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belongeth to the kings. For they said, he's a leper, and Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. Now let's look here for just a moment at this man and his funeral. This is a happy funeral, if you please. There is an expression that's used today, drop dead, you know. Well, that's what happened to this man. And someone was telling me that saw a card that was gotten out by someone connected with the International Casket Company. And whoever it was had his name. He was a salesman. And down at the bottom it said, drop dead. Well, that, my friend, that is a sick form of humor, I would say. But I can't help but smile at it. Now, for a Christian, death actually should have no dread. You could say, O death, where is thy sting? And you remember Paul could say to the Thessalonians, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not as those that have no hope. Now, as we said last time, funerals are not always sad as they seem. I never indulge in cheap sentiment, and I never major in deathbed stories, as you well know. But because I found out in my ministry that death is not always a tragedy in a home, I had an experience when I was a very young preacher. I had the funeral with the former pastor of the church. He'd been a very wonderful friend, been like a father to me. And he never would take a funeral unless they would ask me to have part. And we were having the funeral one day of a wife, and I noticed the husband showed no emotion whatsoever. And out at the cemetery, why, he didn't show any. I had the committal, and I made a few remarks as a young preacher that were rather sentimental, I guess. Then we rode back in the funeral car with this retired preacher and myself with this man now that's lost his wife. And nobody said anything, and I wondered why this former preacher didn't say something, because he knew the man well. And finally, that man just seemed to well up with emotion, and he said, turning to this preacher, and he called him by name, and he said, Dr. So-and-so, I know you'll understand, but I thank God I buried that woman. And I want to tell you, for a young preacher, that was about the most shocking thing I'd ever heard in my life. I don't know if I've heard anything more shocking since then. And I couldn't say a word. I didn't know what to say. And this former preacher said, I understand, and that is it. I never said any more from then on. And then afterward, the former preacher told me, he said, you know, you don't know what that man has gone through in his life. He said that woman was a terror, and she made his life miserable. And there was no love between them at all. That had ceased long, long ago. And he said that actually the death of that woman was no sorrow to that man whatsoever. So I've learned that sometimes a funeral is a joyful occasion, not always a sad thing. Now, the funeral of Uzziah was not sad. Why? He was a leper. And he'd been a good king, and God had recorded his sin. He intruded into the priest's office. That was the spot on the apple. That was the nature of his sin, presumption. This very day, some people have sinned, actually, and go into church. They presume. There's an attempt made today to approach God by man's way and not by God's way. And God told his people, you come my way. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, he tried to come in his way, and he was made a leper. Now, that was an awful disease, and it was an awful disease physically. It was an awful disease psychologically. It was an awful disease any way you think of it, and entailed a great deal of suffering. And death for him was a sweet release, and he was God's man. In spite of his sin, he was judged down here for that. Remember, Paul said to the believers, said, if we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. He went to paradise in that day. There are multitudes of believers listening to me today, helpless and hopeless in a frail and feeble body. And one of these days, why, there'll be a sweet release for them. And what a joyful thing it's going to be for them to go into the presence of the King. That'll be a wonderful thing, friends. There's nothing to sorrow about in a case like that. And that was the death of Uzziah the king. And Jotham, I think he was dry-eyed at the funeral. I'm sure he loved his father, but he knew what it meant. He knew that he was a saved man. To go and be with Christ is far better. Now let me read verse 1 of chapter 27. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did? Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. Now there's something here about this man's quite interesting. He was a good king. Now we've had three good ones right in a row, and that is unusual. And he didn't go into the temple. Now there's a background for it. His father went into the temple and was made a leper, but he went in the wrong way. And this boy Jotham, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but he stayed away from the temple. You can't help but have a sympathy for him, but it set a very bad example for the nation. And as a result, the people did yet corruptly. They didn't turn to God. Here was a man with a tremendous opportunity to lead people back to God. And he had a hang-up. His father was made a leper in the temple, and he didn't want to go in the temple. And there are a great many people today that rest on that type of thing. They are kept away from God's house by prejudice. Oh, the number of folk that I've met that have dropped out of God's service because of prejudice, something that happened years ago or happened to a loved one. I know a young man. He was a young man when I knew him back in the 40s here in Pasadena. He was a son of a great Baptist preacher in Texas. And I got acquainted with this young man. He was really living it up. He and I used to play volleyball together and handball together way back in those days. And I tried to talk with him. And when I did, he said, "Now listen, don't you talk to me about religion. I know as much about it as you do." And then he told me the story of how a bunch of deacons had mistreated his father. And he said, "I never again will darken the door of a church." May I say, I think he's wrong. I told him that. But very candidly, there was a background for it. And that was this boy Jotham here. He had a real background for it. Now, he did certain things. Verse 3, he built the high gate of the house of the Lord. And on the wall of Ophel, he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah. And in the forests, he built castles and towers. And I'd have you know that that land in that day was wooded. Today, the hills are bare for the most part, and they are setting out trees again. But back in the days, that was the land flowing with milk and honey. And this man built castles up among the trees on the hills. He was a great builder, you see. I guess he's the man that started building these subdivisions. Now, we find here he fought also with the king of the Ammonites, prevailed against him. He was a good general like his father. Verse 6, so Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. But he had that hang up, as we've seen. Verse 7, now the rest of the acts of Jotham, all his wars and his ways, lo, they're written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz his son reigned in his stead. Now here's a young man. Only one chapter is given to his reign. He could have been a great king, but he let a hang-up, he let a prejudice prevent him from being a great king and doing great things for God. This is all that he did. Now when we come to chapter 28, we follow the reign of Ahaz. Ahaz, who was 20 years old when he began to reign, he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images of Balaam. Well, I think we knew that sooner or later we'd get a bad king, and this is the one. Ahaz was a bad king. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and that meant evil. He burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and he burnt his children in the fire. That means that he offered them on a red-hot altar, which actually was an idol that was heated red-hot. Human sacrifices were offered in that day after the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Now, Ahaz went completely into idolatry and plunge the southern kingdom into idolatry. Now we're going to leave off at that particular juncture, and we'll pick up there next time. And until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
To listen to today's message again, visit us at ttb.org, or if we can help you find a Bible study resource by Dr. McGee that'll maybe help deepen your understanding and love for God's Word, then call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Tomorrow we'll hear more about the evil acts of Ahaz, and then we'll witness a great revival that came to Israel during the reign of Ahaz's son Hezekiah. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here holding the doors of the Bible bus open as you hop aboard.
Jesus made it home, unto him my own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.